In the nights before Christmas, the child cannot sleep. Wired to the colored lights, dazzled by the tinsel and the anticipation of toys. The sugar plum stimuli have their Pavlovian effect. Ancient carols and advertising paired systematically year after year. We don't outgrow this. The grown-ups are burning the Christmas candle at both ends, barely keeping up with calendars stuffed as full as mall parking garages, to-do lists stacked like airplanes over Logan on Christmas Eve flights. All these preparations for celebrations on top of normal obligations. What has any of this to do with the cold, clear starlight? Icicles suspended from the eaves, breath of wind in the trees at midnight, glowing candle of love at the center of the darkness. All that holiday stuff may be extra, but in a way necessary. In our various ways, artful and clumsy, we are trying to give form to something essential, something precious but subtle. We're not so different from the monks in Quebec who pick the wild blueberries and take them at the moment of ripeness and enrobe them in dark chocolate, knowing that soon they will find their way to someone's mother or dear friend, a message of life to be passed on and received and tasted with delight. In our wrapping of gifts and the cooking of food and the making of plans, we enrobe that most precious. We protect and make visible what is essential. We respond to an invitation to enter a mode of living unfamiliar to us, a mode of living that calls for preparations of the spirit, a shift from making and doing to waiting and receiving. We do this by proxy, this preparation of the spirit, in the preparations of the house, the preparations of the food, even the stacking of the errands and the stuffing of the calendars. But if we do all these things in mindfulness of love, then the preparations of the spirit will also be accomplished. Eventually, inhaling the cold night air infused with starlight, we remember what's coming. In our various ways, we encounter the still point at the pivot of the year's turning. We make the shift from doing to receiving. The darkest nights of the year, we stand together. Instinctively, we turn and wait for the coming of the light that flashes forth in an act of continuing creation, a light that pierces anew the darkness, illuminating our separate souls as one. What we expected and prepared for, it comes. In our various ways, we seek it out, we witness and receive. The child rips open the presents, one after another, in a frenzy of unwrapping. Finally reaching the end, she asks, "Is there any more?" "Well, yes, indeed, there is something more. The gifts and the music and the food and the visiting, these have all been the outer wrappings for the something more. They're just outer wrappings, but in a way necessary. They enrobe, they give form to something subtle but precious. The promise of an abundant life always present. The light that flashes forth out of the darkness. The music that sounds out of the silence. The love that cuts across the divide of our separate souls and embraces us as one." In these days of celebration, May we learn once again to open ourselves to the stillness at the center of the turning of the years, to the peaceful silence whence the music sounds, to the gentle darkness whence the light shines, to the love that always surrounds us, that we may receive something more that forever comes, a gift to us. Shalom, namaste, blessed be, peace on earth.